Welcome back to Smiley Later, your favorite podcast.
Opening take two.
We had a really lovely dinner this week with our friend Emma Vernon of Perfume Room.
You may have heard of her.
Every time I get a group chat notification with the three of us and it pops up as successful podcasters. Who did that?
Was
that
you? It was me. Of course it was me.
I just giggle a little bit.
It was funny because I had to delete all my texts to make room on my Mac for some reason, which of course did not work. And I deleted that text and I went to text y'all both and I couldn't find it and I was sad. Oh, no. But then it popped up and I was like, okay, good. It still has my iconic name. So yeah, we had an event on Wednesday for commodity making. What's this called? Milk Orchid. A permanent part of their collection. So they had a little thing to celebrate with Perfumerism, the creative that they partnered with.
Yeah. She is a fragrance content creator, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think she's the queen of milk fragrances, which...
How does one become the queen of milk fragrances?
I claimed that one first, but fine, she can have it. Yes. I thought we'd met one time, but I sort of made an ass myself because I was like... oh yeah, like we met last year at the Fragrance Foundation Awards, right? She was like, I wasn't there. And I was like, yeah, neither was I. But she was very, very cool. And I am not surprised that Milk Orchid is part of their permanent.
I think it's
the smartest thing they could have done, but I think it's really cool. And I love the scent. You just put it on. What are your thoughts? You've smelled this before.
Smelled it before. It's nice.
It's really
honestly
nice.
It feels like extremely now.
Yeah, it does.
In terms of the Lectonic Gourmand.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was smart of commodity to partner with somebody.
Yeah.
Because I can't quite imagine them releasing this as one of their own core trifecta.
Yeah.
Of like the personal, bold, and expressive. Like, I don't really see that.
I guess
this.
That is coming.
Oh my gosh.
Oh shit.
Well,
I mean,
never mind.
Or maybe. This is pretty. This is better than I remember.
It's pretty. It is very now. I do wonder in 5 years what's going to be going on.
Commodity is an odd one to me. As much as I love some of their scents, I'm also sort of like, what are you doing?
I don't know if they know. I feel like Commodity, because it was the first brand that the owner of Europarfums, because he refounded it.
Acquired,
sure. It's kind of like whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Which sounds like I personally would be drunk with power. So like, I get it. But I think this was really smart. I feel like they should do more of this. They should partner with different types of people from different sectors of perfume.
I do too.
I think that would be a really cool way to evolve the brand. Because there's only so many notes you can do personal, bold, you know? Like kind of accord concepts.
I don't think that format works if I'm being... totally
I'm genuine. I would be genuinely curious, like, consumer perception of that. I feel like for a lot of people, it would be overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, I also like, I think the concept and execution are two different things. I think they're all the same level of bold. It's just a matter of the build.
Yeah.
It's like all
they are three different fragrances.
All of the bolds have more spice and woods to them.
Yes.
You know, and it's sort of like...
because they want it to last longer.
It feels... but I feel like they all last the same amount. It's just how woody is it? You know, I sort of feel... this is what I'm trying to say. I feel like they take the same one accord and add it to all of the fragrances. So it's like the bold bottle and then... like they have a bottle of a juice that makes a perfume bold and just go and add it to each of them.
Because
it's like, I feel like it's the same thing.
Put the bold base
in. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure I'm wrong. Yeah. That just sort of, that's the feeling to me. Because my favorite commodity scent, as I say every episode, is Milk Personal. And that lasts a really long time. And that's allegedly the lightest expression of it. So it's like, I don't know. I think their fragrances are good enough that they don't need three formats of them, three versions of them.
I could see them doing a layering set. Okay, if they wanted to do milk, and then it would be like milk floral, milk woody, milk mineral. Yeah. Like, I could see them doing that.
I like that
and
idea.
That
yeah.
would be interesting.
Yeah.
So if they just released a woody enhancer,
yes.
and then you could use it for any
exactly.
of their scents.
Well, okay. That's sort of what I'm
hire
like.
Hire us for consultation, Europarfums.
Yeah. No, this is, I also like, What I like about Milk Orchid is that, you know, Perfumerisms is obviously a very big influencer in the fragrance space. She has 100,000 followers.
Wow. 100,000?
Yeah. But actually, I think it's 101. Well, this is what I'm saying. It's
in the landscape of influencers, that's not that big.
It's not, but that's what I like about it.
Sure.
Like, I like that they didn't no shade, but like tap Michaela, you know,
sure,
she's someone who is really about it, has a really engaged audience, mm-hmm. but isn't, it feels more of an intentional choice.
Okay.
I feel like AI has just beaten the word intentional to death. So I hate saying it, but it does. It feels more thoughtful, I think. And okay. I think what we get out of it is really great.
Metrics are, they're so opaque. They can be bought. You never know.
Totally.
But if somebody has their own kind of niche
yeah.
that they have carved out for themselves, I think that is more resonant than like someone with a million followers.
Of course. And that's clearly what Perfumerisms has done.
Yeah.
I think she's a really good size.
Yeah.
Those are the creators that I want to hear from, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know like in the realm of social media, that's not that many followers technically, but 100,000 people in a room looking at your, like, that's crazy to me. If you think about it, it's like 100,000 people just like consuming whatever you post.
That's
like,
the Eras tour.
Yeah. You know? Or at least according to Instagram's algorithm, maybe like 3% of them will actually see your content.
Right.
That's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Anyway, go shop Milk Orchid.
Give it a sniff. I think, I don't know why I always think, oh, this is very now. This might not be what's trending in 5 years, but then I'm like, they don't give a shit what's trending in 5 years. They want to make money now.
Totally. I don't know. I think florals are always trending. Yeah. And I hear you, because this to me is, you know, half, well, it's like,
I wonder why it's Milk Orchid and not Orchid Milk.
Because milk was the original fragrance, and then they added orchid.
Something milk, I don't know. Milk Orchid does not read the same to me as Orchid Milk.
Yes, but I think they're trying to like land that name recognition first. It's all in the naming convention. But to me, this is 60% solar floral, 40% yes. milk. And yeah. I feel like, I know fragrance isn't its milk era right now, but...
And it's solar floral era.
But I think there's something about solar florals that are always going to be timely. I think they're very, you know, on trend right now, but I do think there's something about them that is timeless.
Yeah.
Or at least can be stretched a little mm-hmm. bit in that way. So I see this having longevity.
Yeah. I always think of J.Lo Glow when I think of back, the original amorphous idea of solar florals, which like J.Lo Glow is very soapy.
Very soapy.
And very orange blossom.
Yeah.
But something about it also has that creamy, almost like suntan lotion element to it that... Mm. What we now recognize as solar floral.
Yeah.
It was just like a shit ton of soap in there.
Yep.
So it's like, well, I think we've just really finessed it and refined it. And now it's something very creamy and silky.
And sweet. I mean, I think at its heart, it's sweet. You know, yeah. J.Lo Glow was coming off the 90s where everything was really soapy and aldehydic. And now we've gone so gourmand that like, sure, a solar floral is floral. But what I think right now, what makes it solar is just the sweetness and the creaminess of it. So I think it's the expression of it sort of changes with whatever else is trending on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a good point about J-Lo and
but
coming off of, what was that 1990? Nope. Was that 2001?
It might've been 2003. I don't know why that number just popped into
both
my head.
Both of us furiously Googling J-Lo Glow. 2002. Okay. So we were both wrong.
In between.
That was a high-low exercise.
And yeah. We both but yeah, now when I hear solar in the description, I'm just like, okay, so there's a little bit of a suntan lotion note in it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I assume.
It's odd to me that I feel like solar florals are trending now more than ever. And mm-hmm. I say that coming off of, I would say, 2 years really trending already. Yeah. And now, you know, I think I say that because we have Glossier Soir, we have Dead Cool Mineral Milk, we have Laura Sublimity, all of these super timely, super solar florals that sort of don't even sort of rework the idea, but just maybe enhance it or put it within their brand lens or whatever the hell. I'm just sort of like, damn, these really aren't going anywhere, huh? Which is great. I mean, they're so satisfying to me, but I don't need 10 of them.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people kind of took gourmands and floral.
Totally.
What do we have in between?
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Solar.
Exactly. Like, exactly that.
They just divided it in half mm-hmm. for all the people who are like, this is too sweet. That's too rare.
Loser. There's no such thing as too sweet.
I still don't think Glossier U Soir is a solar flower, but that's just me.
I do, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's the least sweet, most salty version of a solar floral. But to me, it still falls under that umbrella. But it's like, it's putting its little toe out.
Yeah. They just emphasize it so much, the beachiness of it all, that I'm like, I don't know if that's what I would have done. But.
I do appreciate that idea of a beach though, because it doesn't have to be one thing.
Right.
It reminds me of, I do not remember the name of it, but I know it was Aedes, that fragrance that smelled like incense on a salty, overcast beach.
Oh, was it the Copal one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Copal incense?
Azure?
Copal Azure, yes. I think. Yes. Yeah. That to me is closer to Glossier Soir than any solar floral. But that to me is still beachy.
Yeah. I remember them describing it as like specifically a specific beach in Mexico. Mm-hmm.
That was so pretty.
Yeah, whatever happened to that line?
I don't know. Probably just lots of PR.
Yeah, basically. It's like, they just don't email us anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was just around there. I should have gone in.
I feel like the Lower East Side is becoming more perfumey.
What are they calling it? Perfume Alley?
Well, that's Nolita.
Oh, I don't know the difference.
It's like Mott Street or Mulberry Street where like all the perfume stores are.
Right.
Or Elizabeth Street. I don't know. But yeah, I'm noticing in the Lower East Side like more perfume places.
Where is the Lower East Side?
The Lower East, Tynan.
Like what's it around? What's around it?
It is. What's in it? Like east of Soho.
Okay.
Below Bowery.
Oh, sure. Isn't that where like...
Because Bowery runs up and down. Below, I would almost say like below Grand.
Yeah. I think I just think of it still as Soho. Oops.
They kind of bleed into each other, honestly.
Because like, okay, like Boys Smells, may they rest in peace. Their pop-up is Soho, not
it's like,
Lower East. Or is it?
It is Nolita.
Oh, well, fuck me then.
Which, okay, I feel like Nolita, which is meant to mean north of Little Italy. Little Italy, which is right above Chinatown.
Yeah.
Right under like East Village. These are also like made up names. Like these are realtor made names.
I can do this on the West Side with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't do it on the East Side. The East Side is so opaque to me.
That's so funny. I'm the opposite.
It's too young and scary. And I only know that because
the East Side is still on a grid where the West Side just goes crazy.
You're right. I just lived on the West Side for so long
that it's true.
Chelsea meatpacking West Village, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Imagine me doing a perfume tour, not knowing where the fuck anything is. How to get anywhere.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of these, they're all made up. They all kind of bleed into each other. But I think of things also by subway stop. So like the Lower East Side to me is a Delancey Essex stop. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Second Avenue stop.
I also think that's Soho.
Second Ave could be Soho. Okay. It could be. It's like right on the border.
Okay.
Anyway, Aedes de Venusis is still there on Orchard Street. And then Nonfiction just opened up on Orchard Street.
Yes.
They just sent me these two. They have two new fragrances out that are two interpretations of a Chypre.
Oh.
A Chypre, which I always fucking forget what it is.
It's like the
Moss Patchouli Bergamot thing.
Yeah. It like opens with a bergamot situation.
Yeah.
Moss and patchouli at the base.
Yeah.
Why
did that get a name?
People were bored. What else do they have to do? Yeah.
But why are we still using it? I feel like it's not relevant now.
The perfumers. I feel like categories are helpful.
The perfumers are rolling in their graves.
No, I feel like categories are helpful because there's Chypre and what's Fougère. That's the one I'm always like, what is this?
I don't know what either of them. Like I do because it's been explained to me so many times and then I forget it immediately.
I know.
It's like when someone tries to teach me how to play poker, I just forget it immediately.
Right. Like I have things to do.
Because like I've smelled several Chypres, several Fougères. They never smell the same. So I'm like, see what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, I keep going back to that Aristo Chypre from Coty and Finimah that like changed my life. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, before I get into it, what was I going to tell you? Oh, the Blind Box event.
How was it?
It
How
was
did it go?
So
you sold out like immediately.
Immediately.
Crazy.
Yo, thank you to everyone who participated. I know that there were many, many more participants than Blind Boxes, but such is life. Super successful. The girls were sat.
Yep.
And we made just under $1,400 for the Allie Forney Center, which supports unhoused queer youth here in New York City. And it was couldn't have been more successful or well attended. I'm very, very grateful. I cannot wait to do it again. I think I'm going to do it more. The way I did it was, which is fine, but like pretty labor intensive. I was like, damn, these boxes are heavy.
I was like, I'm picturing you going to the Greenpoint post office, arguably the meanest post office in the country.
Oh, yes.
According to the Google reviews.
Well, it was UPS, but still not much better.
Oh, okay. Slightly better.
I will say that for being UPS, they have the least usable website on earth. Every time I try to do something, it's like fucking an abacus. Anyway, I think what I'm going to do is maybe do it quarterly and probably as a surprise or whatever. Maybe I'll announce it. I don't know. But I think I'm going to do like probably 10 fragrances per box for $100. I think I can sleep easy at night.
Yeah.
And it's just a really easy way to, one, get a lot of new perfumes that are essentially brand new and support a very important cause and expand your collection or have some to keep, have some to give.
Yeah. Like go in with your friends.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was incredible. Everything sold essentially instantly. And I will definitely be doing it again. And I also want to say that it's a really easy thing for like you to do, not you, Sable, you listener, or everyone. I don't know.
Everyone. Universally you.
So I know that not everyone has shit tons of brand new perfume lying around, but it was low lift, high reward. And maybe there's something in your life that you can approach in the same or similar manner. So keep an eye out for more blind boxes. There will definitely be more.
Yay.
So yeah, shout out to philanthropy.
I'm saving all my excess for our for an upcoming event. We may or may not be planning.
Yes, definitely. And I will have more excess by the time that we get there. So worry not.
Okay.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay. I smell, speaking not of Shapers, I smell like a new fragrance from Memo Paris called Cap Camarat. It's a beautiful, fresh, almost like...
Is it some motherfucking solar floral?
I don't think it is. There's something about it that reads oceanic, but in like a salty mineral way. There's a little bit of solar in it. You're right.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
Oh my God.
This is their newest fragrance that I feel like they're really going hard at this one. I saw that they released a set of essences to enhance it. They call it Vanilla Azure, a provincial coastal treasure with untouched charm, a Mediterranean haven of beauty. Cap Camarat inspires a fragrance like a smile in the sun. Ooh. Ylang Ylang Vanilla Absolute and Amorous Essence unite, offering their sensual embrace. Benzoin, sandalwood, and labdanum bestow their... This copper is going crazy.
Yeah.
Benzoin, sandalwood, and labdanum bestow their aura to this elegant composition, reminiscent of pine landscapes and rolling sea waves that lull and invite contemplation. There's a lot happening here. So they hero out, or they call out, Ylang Ylang, Vanilla Absolute, and Amorous Essence. And then they go further to say, pink peppercorn essence, watery, fruity apple, Ylang Ylang Ylang. I don't know if they meant to write that, but that's what it says.
Uh-oh.
Jasmine extract, vanilla absolute, sandalwood essence, benzoin resinoid, amorous essence, patchouli essence, and labdanoid resinoid. Labdanoid? Wow. Labdanum resinoid. It's interesting because I remember I just got a press release. It's like, this is their new fragrance. Like, we'd love to send it to you. And I was like, sure. Knowing nothing about it. And then I was kind of blown away by how beautiful it is because I wasn't expecting. I guess when I hear breezy Mediterranean, I just think, oh, bergamot. Cool. But the Vanilla Azure, I think, is an interesting take on it because it gives it a little bit of body.
Mm. Yeah, wait, can I smell it on you? Whoa. That's like way saltier on you.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It is like, it's like vanilla salt. Mm. And then like there is like the brightness of the ylang ylang too.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous. This is, to me, this is very different than what Memo usually does. I'm so used
to
their...
They do a lot of different stuff,
They
man.
Do. They do. I guess not really, because, like, I mean, I think of the leathers first, but then I think of Centra, which are so different, you know? Yeah. I never think the leathers are for me, and then I smell them, and, each and every one of these go off.
Yeah.
I think they sent... I don't think. I know that they sent me African leather recently, and I think Sicilian leather. Both are complete bangers.
My favorites are the Irish leather...
I think
French
I love that one
leather.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, they're so really good. Those. I love a leather scent.
Yeah.
I would think that I don't need a leather collection, but
they're all so different.
But with Memo, you do.
They're all so different and so complex.
And I would also argue that they're not super leather first.
Agree.
You know, sure, they have
leather's kind of like the foundation.
Yes.
And then they build upon it with a lot of other stuff.
It's not a super literal leather, which I wouldn't mind if it was. Yeah. But if you're going to have this many, they better be different. And they are. They're so good.
They're really good.
Ugh, you mind if I stand?
Well, they released this essence collection along with Cap Camarat that has 6 enhancers.
Okay.
Oh my God. You can buy the set of a 75 ml Cap Camarat with 6 30 ml essences, and it's $1,200. Okay.
For who?
That's insane. They don't tell you.
Just kidding, Memo. If you'd like to send that to us, we would be all ears.
Oh, I would accept in a heartbeat. They don't say what is in it.
It's fine.
But it's a great concept.
I'm not giving a $1,200 set any airtime, please.
I always forget that there are people who will drop $1,200 on a perfume they love. I always forget that. I'm like, oh, right, you have money. What's that like?
Yeah.
But
I feel like Memo Paris goes in and out of consciousness for me. And then every time it comes back, I'm like, oh, wait, I love this brand.
No, I sort of do too. And I'm always interested in what they're going to do next. I don't really know who their consumer is, but it's somebody.
I think they're
also, they're global, right?
They are global. Okay,
that makes more
sense. I kind of feel like they're bigger in the European sector.
That would make sense.
I want to say.
I also think that I get from them, based on admittedly nothing, that a lot of, I think they have a really big retail presence is what I'm trying to say. Because I think their consumer is a little older and they're not super social first.
Yeah.
I think they move a lot of units in retail.
Agree. I think they're in the Barneys of the world.
Exactly.
They're in the Printemps and all the big department stores.
Right.
But I love this one now. I loved the French leather, Irish leather, Majorai, which is their like Indian jasmine one. Mm-hmm. And there was another one that Marfa, I think, is one of their top sellers.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny because it's like such a global brand. And then it's like Marfa, Texas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also forget how expensive they are. Oh my God. They do 30 mLs now, which is excellent. Yeah. But a 75 mL, which I think is like 2 point something ounces, is $340.
That's about what I thought they were.
A 30 ml is 170.
And this is 30?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd be at peace with that.
It's pretty pricey.
It is pretty pricey, but you know.
But they're so good.
They're quite good.
Yeah. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like Tonka Hysteria.
Oh, you got it.
D'Orsay. Yes. I saw the name of this fragrance and I said, well, I've got to have that.
Yeah.
Because I love warm and sweet, and I am always in hysterics. So this, and oh man, I got it about a week ago, but this is the first time I've actually worn it on skin. On the blotter, it feels almost like too deep for its own good. Like mm-hmm. almost too, I don't know if there's patchouli in it, but just kidding, there's not. But it feels very that, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm not quite sure about this. Put it on this morning, and it's exactly what I wanted. It is so, so good. It's so beautiful. I'm like generationally gagged. It's just like, this is one of those ones that it's like somewhere.
Ooh.
Right?
It almost goes a little vetivery.
Really?
A little bit. There's like a grassiness.
I can see that, like a greenness to it a little bit at the top. When I smell this, it's like, oh, damn. If this was the first perfume I've ever smelled, I would have loved it. Or if I like smell this at 16, I would say like, oh, this is who I want to smell like. And it's like, damn, I've always been who I've always been. You know what I mean? Oh, it's Tonka is a step away from vanilla.
Yeah.
And they often,
it's like the cousin of vanilla.
The cousin. It's like, I would say just as sweet, but not as saccharine and more warm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the, whatever, I'm not going to say the adult version of vanilla, which is derogatory. And this has tons and tons of depth to it. The hero notes they call out are tonka bean, iris, and vanilla. Mm-hmm. And then the whole build at the top is mandarin, pink pepper, olibanum, and cinnamon. The heart is iris butter, iris resin,
ooh,
and lily of the valley. Yep. Hey. And then the base is tonka bean, benzoin, and vanilla.
What?
It's super, God, not even velvety, like something deeper than that. Like velvet, but evil or something. It's, but the tonka is very much the star of the show, and it's very intense. I mean, this is, they have a couple different intensities as a brand, right? But this one is an X-ray.
This is the X-ray,
yeah. And you can,
the black bottle.
You can smell it and you can feel it.
Yeah.
A unisex amber, powdery X-ray de parfum, imagined as a sensation of love at first sight. Oh, by Jordi Fernandez. Mandarin, pink pepper light the first fuse. Iris, palita, and tonka bean open the breach. What is going on here? And this X-ray de parfum captures the hidden web of our attraction. Ooh, whether you follow me until daybreak or choose to flee, the memory of Tonka Hysteria will remain. I don't know about all that, but this is stunning.
Whatever
stunning,
you
stunning,
say.
Stunning. Yeah, whatever you say, girl. And ooh, I mean, this is something that I could wear every day.
Yeah.
I would say, and I know that we don't seasonalize things, but maybe sort of heavy in the summer, but oh my God. It's like a shitty day outside.
Uh-huh.
It's like, of course, 40 degrees and rainy.
Yeah.
And I wanted something, but it's also too warm to wear a puffer.
Yeah.
But too cold to not wear a coat. So yeah. I was like, I want to put on a big sweatshirt and a really cozy fragrance. And like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm getting my life right now. I gotta be honest. It's so good.
Dorsey is such like it's an interesting brand because it's like really old. It's from like 18.
It's really old.
I mean, there's history. It's from 1830. It's basically a brand based on adultery.
What?
Because the founder, Alfred Dorsey, all the fragrances are based on his relationship with his mistress,
okay.
Which is funny. And I'm just like, justice for his wife. And then it was refounded in 2015.
Okay.
So now it's like more modernized. And I think Tonka Hysteria is one of the newer fragrances.
I think so too.
But it is funny being like, so this is just a perfume line about cheating. Okay.
Which of course we do not condone. They weren't really calling out to me, but then I know that you like them.
I like them. I think the regular Eau de Parfum line is very pretty. Kind of just like, oh, okay, this is pretty. Yeah. And then when I smelled the extraits, though,
yes.
I feel like those are the show ponies of the line.
Okay.
Where the newer ones, I have Holy Berry.
Yes.
Which I always think of Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And that is so, it's such a good fragrance. It is strawberry milk, iris, and white oud. But in the makeup, it doesn't have any of those actual notes in it.
Crazy.
It's just like all different accords that bring you that effect, which I think is so interesting and clever. Yeah. That's beautiful. They have a rose one, which like, again, I'm not really a rose person, so it's not for me, but it's a beautiful rose scent. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there's Tonka Hysteria, Flower Lust.
Oh my God, this site is so nice.
And Incense Crush.
Yes. They also kindly sent me a discovery set, so nice. I'm excited. I think of not the extraits, I think of the regulars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to wear my way through that.
Nice. I really like, there's one called EQ, Sur tes lèvres, which I think means on your lips.
Okay.
And that's like, it's a sable scent in that it's a beautiful nothing.
Sure, sure.
But they're nice. They're nice. I'm just like, oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. Hmm. Okay, back to Chypres. Sorry to jump around there. Before me sits two new Chypres from nonfiction. The theme is called The Breath of Spring. And there's Dew in Light, which is the floral Chypre, and Tears in Rain, which is the woody Chypre. So I've smelled them before.
Okay. And
I think they're really nice. I think of these as aquatic, herbaceous, fresh scents.
Okay.
They're nice.
But can I tell you that nonfiction just does not give a shit about me whatsoever?
Well, I think their PR doesn't fuck with you.
No, I think, well, that's just, they can get over it.
Yeah.
No, I think I have just not. Who are they, Lead?
Lead, yeah.
Oh, no, they do.
Okay. Or maybe you just haven't answered their emails.
I
think also they're pretty direct with what they want with editorial. So, you know, I tend not to call in too many things from them because I know they're just going to keep following up about coverage. Right. And sometimes I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just sprayed Tears in Rain, which they call out oakwood, geranium, bergamot, patchouli.
Oakwood. Okay.
It's nice. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's nice. It's like a very fresh, herbaceous scent. Would you say that is what you think is a traditional Chypre?
I'm probably not the person to answer that question, to be honest. I would say, I mean, yeah.
When you tell
I mean,
me like bergamot patchouli moss.
Yeah, no, I guess I would.
I think like this smells like bergamot moss patchouli to me.
Yeah. It's just very light. I think I wouldn't smell this and think, oh, that's a Chypre. But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I smell it all for sure.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very, very bright. It's very bergamot-y.
It's very bergamot.
Bergamot-y.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, it's not what I would reach for, but I think it's certainly for someone.
Certainly for someone.
I don't know. You know what I mean. Yeah, like, I you know, it's a
I
little...
think if you like fresh, clean, just stepped out of the shower scents.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to smell citrus first, you know?
Same.
And I there's a lot of people that do, and I think that's perfect for them. Yeah. I think it's much more interesting than like a La Labo take on it, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one I cannot smell.
Dew and Light, which calls out peony, pear, white moss, and Akigala wood.
Okay.
That one's quite light.
It's quite light, yes. Yeah, this is very light.
I like this one better. It's a
Do
little,
you?
It's a little peppery. Dew and Light, I get kind of like a peppery pear from Ooh. This.
Wait, I'm honestly like not getting anything from it.
Uh-oh.
Can you smell that?
Yeah, douse it.
I did.
I thought you did.
The whole bottle ends up on this one blotter. This one soggy, flaccid blotter. I mean, what it can smell is really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Again, like not to be, it's not very clean, very light, very floral. Pretty.
Yeah.
I just want to amp it up a little bit.
It's funny because I think Dew and Light is the, that's the floral Shipra, but, and then Tears and Rain is the woody Shipra, but I feel like it's reversed.
I don't
get, I just get more spice from this.
I don't get a
pepper, rather.
Do you?
There's something peppery about it.
I just get like,
you just don't smell anything.
Now I do. I get, it says what, peony, white moss, and acacia wood. I get the peony, and I suppose I get the white moss.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's nice.
I get pepper, which is interesting.
I don't get pepper at all.
Maybe it's the acacia wood. I mean,
the more I smell Tears and Rain, the more I like it, actually.
Okay. I've sprayed it on the skin now.
Dew and Light you sprayed?
Yeah. Okay. Now I get more of the peony. Now I get a lot more of the dew.
I mean, that's for as much as I cannot smell it on the blotter, it's jumping off of you.
Yeah.
Again, I get, I think to me, these are both very citrus forward, which I guess makes sense, but yeah, it's very light, very white floral, very citrusy,
very citrous.
pretty. I mean, yeah,
they're really pretty.
Yeah. I think these are certainly going to be hits, and I think they're hitting at like the perfect time.
Yeah.
It's funny, like you've been talking about these, and there was a knock at my door a week or two ago, and there was a guy with a gigantic nonfiction bag, and I was like, wow. For my boyfriend, not for. I was like, hey, fuck me then. Like, damn, this brand really could not give.
Wait,
a
what did they send?
What did they send? I think a candle and a discovery set. So I'm gonna smell them whether they like it or not. No, I don't think I'm banned, but I just haven't activated this brand yet. So I just don't think they're for me, and that's okay. But I will be smelling.
I don't think they really like. This is not really a Tynan or Sable brand.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, it's more of a Sable brand because I love things that smell like nothing.
Yes.
But I think that there aren't a lot of brands that just smell like a beautiful nothing in as many different ways.
You sure? Are you sure about that?
Well, not all in one place.
I will say that I've always really loved the bottles.
I love the branding. It's really chic.
It's definitely not me design, but there's just something so cool about it. Like, it's so simple, but it's not another sans serif font on a white bottle. I mean, it's close to that, but it's not.
It gives like Korean interpretation of French perfumery because they use up the Givenchy, the Firmenich perfumers of the world. Sure. I think Dominique Ropion did a bunch of their scents. Uh-huh. So they really wanted to kind of like stay true to French perfumery, but through the perspective of Korean tastes. Huh. So I think that's why it's like, they're very beautiful and complex, but very light.
Hmm. Yeah. I remember, like I said, seeing a nonfiction bottle on Jess Matlin's Instagram story. And the bottle stuck in my head so much that I wanted to track them down. So yeah, I'm excited that they're here. I need to get myself to that store.
Yeah. It's on Orchard and God, Rivington? ? I know it's like literally right down the street from Aida's. So I think that's why I was like, okay, I feel like the Lower East Side is slowly becoming more populated with perfume destinations.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great, I would love to, I mean, if a perfume lover was coming to New York, not that there's ever been, you know, a lack of places to shop, but I think it'd be really fun for them to just take a little afternoon downtown and go from, apparently I don't know, but like Lolita to Soho and just like walk and hit them all, you know?
Yeah. I think that's fun. Just smell stuff.
Start at Bergdorf's, get drunk first. It's the only way to shop. Can I pivot?
Yeah, pivot.
Vaguely, speaking of discovery sets, I finally smelled my way through the two that you hit me with, the Andrea Mac. Oh. I have some thoughts.
I've heard these thoughts, but go on.
Yes. Andrea Mac was a blind spot for me. I know everyone loves them. I've heard nothing but good things about them. I've smelled a couple things in passing at Stell.
Yep.
And liked them, but like, you know, when I'm like sucking on an atomizer, it's not the same thing as wearing them. So Andrea Mac has a set of like, these aren't the exact names, but like a light set and a dark set.
Yeah.
And I started with the light and I was a little surprised because I was sort of like, this is it? Like, this is Andrea Mac? This is what y'all are gagging over? Only to say that they felt very safe and very conventional.
Uh-huh.
Very light.
They're beautiful. They're just like...
beautiful.
You've kind of smelled them before.
Yeah, in a way that I'm like, these were almost like Estee Lauder vibes. Like, these could be Lancôme.
Right.
And again, like, really...
Go ahead. I mean, it goes to show you the strength of branding.
The strength of branding, the strength of a founder forward brand.
Yeah.
And again, beautifully balanced. The wear was great. Yeah. Like if I was looking for, they have like a fresh laundry scent, they have like whatever. If I was looking for that and I bought one, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is not what I thought I was getting myself into.
Yeah. I did think like, just like based on the kind of the vibes.
Yeah.
it would be like witchier, a little bit off kilter, and like
totally
kooky.
Totally.
And I was like, oh no, these are just like very.
These are just pretty.
Pretty.
But then I broke my way into the dark set.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, they go a little crazier there.
There it is. Yeah. I mean, that shit worked me out. I really love a lot of what is in the dark discovery set from Andrea Mack. The way that they do warm, sweet, spicy, leathery is exquisite. I really was thrilled by it. So I'm very happy to finally have worn my way through. And I appreciate that a brand that can do both. You know what I mean? I think I probably started at the wrong spot for me personally and my proclivities. But yeah, I now get it. And I'm excited to, you know, smell whatever's next. I think the ones that I liked the most were Flux. I believe I liked Magma. And I think my favorite was Supernova. I mean, Supernova, like, hit the bullseye for me 100%. It's, I mean, this sounds like me in a bottle. Spiced saffron, oud randomly. Lavender, vetiver, cypress, cardamom, cedar, leather. So, yeah.
That does sound good.
Yep. So I'm happy to be more acquainted and, you know, get you a girl who can do both.
I feel like or at least like in my purview, the chatter's died down a little bit. I feel like last year or like the year before, everyone in like, you know, Fraghead community was talking about Andrea Mack.
She comes to town a lot.
She does.
You know?
Yeah.
I think she just like likes to slam her purse down and be at Stowe.
slam her purse down.
And that gets the girls chattering, which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. Iggy Woo sent me another discovery set.
Can they not be named Iggy Woo?
I don't know. I didn't do it.
Do you like them?
I do.
That's okay. Wait, they sent you another with like more scents?
No, the same set.
Oh.
You want it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know why they just, like, they sent me the discovery set like a month ago. Yeah. And then randomly another one just showed up at my door and thank you, but it came from an international postage. I was like, don't spend money on this.
I hate to say it. I've looked at them before. Iggy Woo, I've looked at before. Yeah, yeah. And
the bottles are cool.
Bottles are really cool. Yeah. I think a lot of the scents really jump out to me, but I'm just like, I would never say that word out loud. So I'm not going to wear you. Sorry. That's just like where I got to draw the line somewhere.
I like the pistachio voodoo scent. There is a bit of me that's just like...
We can't say voodoo.
I was like, what are we doing with voodoo here?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Come on.
The scent is really good, though.
Is it?
It is. Huh. They have vanilla. They have one called Lost in Vanillatopia, which I think you would like. I really like that one,
too. I think, that's obviously calling out to me.
Yeah, yeah. The scents are good.
I could be proved wrong. I could be proved wrong.
You just have to say the word. It's like Beetlejuice.
I won't be doing that. I'm sorry, Iggy Woo. This is the first and last time you're going to cross my lips.
I forget why it's called. I think there was, I mean, obviously there's a reason, but I don't. Either I read it and it went one brain lobe out the other or what, but there was a rhyme and reason to it. I think it's another artisanal luxury fragrance brand that wants to be a little bit off kilter, a little bit... Break the rules of traditional fragrance.
Wait, he's hot. Maybe I will wear this brand.
I'm looking at the website. Okay, yep. Founded by Richard St. Ford, a self-taught perfumer. Wow. Good for him. No outside.
Another self-taught perfumer.
These are good, though.
I'm kidding. I don't care. That's if I give a shit.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, sure. I think this is like somebody's personal vision that they're putting forth. That's like their... philosophical statement on fragrance. I don't know. I think it's really well done. The caps go crazy.
The caps go crazy. I do like their visuals too. I think it's
the
really
visuals
beautiful.
Are really cool. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a refined artistic luxury fragrance line. That's just like, this is our perspective. Cool.
How old are they?
It doesn't say when they were founded, but I feel like they're fairly recent. They're based in the UK, I believe.
Let me see. Oh, they came out in 2004. Okay. So they're quite new.
Okay. That's like 22 years ago. Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 2024.
Oh, they came in 2024. Okay.
Yes, I said 2004. I did say 2004.
So they're quite new. Wow. Oh, it's on their about page. It says you are the final ingredients.
Oh God.
Glossier is going to send you a cease and desist.
Glossier should be sending everyone a cease and desist.
Well, it's kind of, I think it's funny when fragrance brands kind of emphasize that, which, okay, I think to the basic consumer is not thinking about this, but like like, of course your skin is the final ingredient.
Right.
Like, perfume smells different on everybody's skin chemistry. So maybe people just need to be reminded of that. But I always think it's kind of funny when people emphasize that as if it was engineered to be that way. When I'm like, that's literally just how scent works.
Well, it's a nice idea. It's a nice concept.
It's a nice concept.
But it's like,
it gets the girls.
It's been done.
But yeah, the visuals are cool. I like the scents. They have like a lot of scents for 2 years.
They do.
Yeah. Where's your money from? That's the only thing I want to ask you. I was like, how did you pay? How do people do business?
Don't get me on that again.
How does anything happen in this world, Tynan? How do people do things? I dug back into my heaping pile of Coty lab samples. Mm. I'm going through all the Calvin Klein Euphoria flankers, ?
Okay.
They're nice.
Are those the ones that I'm seeing right now with like the neon bottles?
Yeah.
Those like look really cool.
Euphoria Bold, Euphoria Elixir.
Oh, do we have those? I think
they're in your pile of lab samples.
I know. I think I might have done away with those.
Yeah.
Pre-move. I'm moving this week. Oi. I do want to smell those.
They're nice. They do smell like a perfume counter. But
do they? Okay. Can I maybe steal those like next week and then bring them back if I don't have them?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
totally. Thank you. I can't believe we're recording this like as you're moving.
You know, of course.
Oy. I feel like throughout the tenure of this podcast, you have moved like 5 times.
This will be my fourth move here. Fourth move, fifth place.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, sample all of New York City. Why not? Try every neighborhood.
I'm on my way, girl. I would like this one to be like the home that we stay in for a while.
Yeah.
You know, Lord willing.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes, but.
Oh, because, all right. This is the second apartment with your partner.
Yes.
It's not like the first like move in together where you're like, you know,
why don't you just blow up my spot, Sable? Why don't you just fucking my social security number too?
Man, I could never.
Yes, this is our second place together.
Where would I put all my stuff? I've only cohabitated with a man once and it did not encourage me to do it again.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've moved in with every guy I've ever laid eyes on, so it's fine.
I think I'd have to have like, I would have to be given almost total liberty with like aesthetics.
We have a pretty
good. You both have like good taste though.
Say that.
Yeah.
No, we have a pretty good balance going on. I'm excited to figure this place out. We might paint.
You should paint. Take it from someone who did not paint when they moved in. And now I'm like, fuck, all my furniture isn't here.
I'm not sure if we're allowed to, but I'm probably going
to. Can.
Yeah. Or we might do a curtain wall or curtain room.
Just like all.
Yeah.
Ooh, chic.
Yeah.
Also soundproof.
Uh-huh. He doesn't know that yet, but.
No, it's actually really easy. I get the IKEA ceiling tracks.
Yeah.
It's like really easy.
Well, it's so nice this time around because like we don't really need anything. You know, it's like we need a new like floor lamp, like big deal. But it's like if anything, we have too much furniture. So yeah, it's going to come together really nice. And I think like anything, it'll be a process of evolving. But even this place, we got rid of more shit. Bought for it. So yeah, I think we're like pretty much ready minus this like moving snafu that happened during this episode, but that's fine. So wish me luck.
How are you going to store all your perfumes?
So right now I have one of those big nondescript 5-shelf IKEA shelves. Mm-hmm. I like perfume as decor. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be step one. I don't know. I do think I say this all the time, like kind of jokingly, but like, I do think it's a little grotesque to have 1,000 perfumes, but it's also like what we do.
I don't like visual clutter.
This isn't like, visual clutter.
Despite myself, I have a lot of visual clutter in my apartment, but
no, this feels very decor vibes. So, which is why I also scaled down so much. Having a ton of excess does not like please me.
Yeah.
Even though I still do. So I think I'm going to keep with that. I mean, I had this really crazy thought of like, what if I just got rid of it all? What if I just kept my 5 favorites and just like,
I kind of dream of that sometimes,
you know, but I think it's also like kind of fun. So
yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to do for that. And we'll figure the rest out. I don't know.
Moving six. I mean, it fucking sucks, but it's exciting too.
I feel very like calm.
Yeah.
With this move.
You've done it enough times now.
Done enough times. And we have very little excess. There's not a lot we need to scale down.
Good.
So yeah, it's going to be fine. I'm excited. It'll be what it is.
Great. I'm looking forward to your next apartment therapy.
Yeah, right. Call me. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to another riveting episode of Smell You Later.
You're so rude.
I'm allowed to describe my podcast anyway.
That is true.
Please leave us 5 stars wherever you can do that and a nice comment. Find us at our website, smellyoulater.live. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sable Tooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.